my big developer trip is that I don't have one trick that I have. I think what it needs is always is practice.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on @JSWorldConf on Twitter.
So welcome back to the JS World Podcast. I'm Renee, one of the consultants here at Passionate People, and I'm joined by my colleague.
Hi, I'm Kisu, Next.js Ambassador, and with us we have...
Vanessa. Hi, I'm from Munich. I gave a talk here today, and I'm, happy now to talk to you.
Yeah, happy to have you. Thanks for coming. And you just came off the stage about the composition, state management with the composition API.
Correct.
Can you give us a bit of a primer on it?
Yes, so I started with U3 already in September 2020. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I haven't heard of Pinya before, and I wasn't sure if I should install Vuex immediately or if they are still like migrating. I think it was migrated and ready for U3 pretty fast, but as I said, I was using U3 on the release day. And so pretty quick, as it usually goes, within the first week of me writing components, I thought, okay, how do I actually manage state now? Mm-hmm. And somehow by accident, I found out that I can create state management or our store just using Vue without any other framework at all. Because I was writing a composable and I thought to reuse it somewhere else. And I also had just some lists of items and I deleted them there. And I thought it would be nice if they would be also deleted over there, it would make sense. And I was looking for ways how to do this. And what I did was the array, the list of items I had in my composable, in this export function, I just put on top of the export function, and then it was a singleton and a global thing and a single source of truth. And I was like, hey, look, state management with composables, nice.
So why the focus on state management? Because it sounds like almost a basic thing. I mean, I'm usually a backender, usually Java Kotlin, but I have some experience with Redux, things like that. So it sounds like that's already very much out of date. So what struck it for you to be such an interesting topic, the part of state management in Vue?
I think you need, I can't think of a lot of examples where you don't need at some point to handle state. So I think you would really need a very, very, very tiny application to not have state in some way. And if it's just a disabled state, because you probably have a fetch request and you want on the button, you have a loading spinner or something, and then update this again. And maybe your action was coming from somewhere else, not the same component, but a different part of the application, but still you want to disable this button. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as I said before, I want to have that as easy as possible. And the reason why I then talked about it was that I was asked pretty often then, as Pinya got more common, that people asked me, hey, should I use Vuex or should I use Pinya? And I realized that people weren't really taught that they can also just use Vue for small things. They just can use a composable for this. They have it in the docs, but nobody actually talked about that. And so I thought, okay, then I talk about this one documentation page on the Vue docs.
Yeah, and on top of that, there is also the Vuex 3 versus Vuex 4 version. So this one was also tricky. So yeah, I totally understand that for somebody who is starting, it's pretty disturbing to know which one to pick. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
It almost sounds like some sort of hidden feature if you explain it like that. Like,
I think it's a hidden feature. I'm not sure if it was an intention, but I found out by accident, I can just declare my items on top of my composable store. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only limitation for this one, if I'm not mistaken, is for SSR, because this one leaks memory leaks. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Good point. It only works out of the box for client-side rendering. And then, of course, you could re-implement it by yourself. But in that case, if you have SSR and you need to support it, I would also just say, use Pinya for this.
Yeah, or you could record Pinya and make your own.
You could also make your own to have another state management lib.
So I've heard about Haarlem. What do you think about this state management?
Yeah, so Haarlem is a bit different than Pinya. So what Pinya did after Vuex, Vuex is built on the Flux pattern, Flux architecture. So you have your state, you have actions which are asynchronously, and you have mutations which are synchronous. And there were pitfalls, like people weren't sure, can I call a mutation directly? Can I commit a mutation directly? Do I always need to call the action beforehand? And what Pinya does, based on proxies, is basically do whatever you want, but you don't need mutations anymore. And it feels very, very JavaScripty or TypeScripty what you do. And it doesn't also feel bloated. You don't have a lot of skeleton or boilerplate. It's small.
Yeah. It reduces the wall section by 55%, so always welcome, indeed.
Harlem, on the other side, brought back mutations. Okay. I think just for the part of users who like to work with mutations.
Okay.
And to also have this immutable state, because with Pinya you are allowed to mutate state directly if you want to. You can of course like restrict it in your company, in your project, and say, hey, this is not the way we do this, we do it like this. But I think Harlem was a bit more strict to have this flux architecture again. And it's also working with Vue3 and probably came out just a while ago. And so it's working with Vue3. I'm not sure if they have a plugin for Vue2, but what you can also see, it's completely extensible. So if you need more things on top, they have also TypeScript support. So everything what Pinya has, I think Harlem has too. They have the TypeScript support. I think they actually also already have their DevTools plugin on top, so you can also have the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the difference for me still is Pinya is from Eduardo. He's a Vue.js core member.
Yep.
It's a first-party plugin, and Harlem isn't. I trust the person who writes this, but it still is not a Vue.js core contributor.
I double checked. It's only Vue3. It's for the nostalgic people of Vue2, but still using Vue3 who wants mutations. But I'm not sure to understand what's the benefit of still having mutations, because at the end, if you have an action, even if it's synchronous, it doesn't matter.
On the other hand, I often didn't understand what the problem with mutations is. We followed simple rules, like you can call the mutation directly if your action would only call the mutation, and you call that from actions. So I wasn't really aware that some people really, really didn't like mutations. Maybe it's just whoever prefers to do it like this can use it. It's like if else or switch case. We have a lot of like different examples. Why would you use this when you can also use that?
Yeah, because it's maybe a bad practice, but I know that some companies are just using, before with Vue2, they were using only actions, even if it was a mutation, because at the end you can wrap it in an action and make it async, and it will still work. You don't need to think about it. But maybe there are some performance implications of using an action.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know neither.
I probably would say I don't think so.
Yeah.
On the other hand, maybe it's a trade-off. So with Harlem, everything would be like kind of you used to have it like in Vue.x. Mm. So maybe the learning curve is not that big. On the other hand, it's using composition API syntax, so it's still a learning curve. But also with Pinya, although you might not have a big learning curve, you have to be aware of that you can do things four different ways. I think you can just mutate the state directly, you can patch an action, you can call a function, and I think there's also a third way to also just reset the state. And then people might also be unsure, why should we do patch, or should we do this instead? And there are also kind of trade-offs. Maybe Harlem is more strict, like you have to call the action, no other way. And that might be better for some teams.
At the end, with the composition API, we have a lot of flexibility. But flexibility comes also with the trade-off of knowing what you're doing. If you're not sure, as always, you'll rather be writing options API syntax. And same goes for Harlem. So if you're not sure, maybe just use mutations if you're used to it. So I do agree on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to follow along because I'm just like I said, really familiar with some like Redux, React, so pretty, with the mutations, the reducers, the whole boilerplate stuff.
At the end, just like naming that is different, mm-hmm. but it's.
But what's like the core difference between, for example, what now feels to me like some kind of older approach with Redux, React, and these new frameworks like Pinya and Harlem?
Should say that it's basically boilerplate and simplicity to use, because Redux is pretty heavy on how much stuff do you need to write to make a simple thing? While Pinya is really, oh, so you want to change that? Okay, just update it and that's all. Mm-hmm. While when you have to write reducers, you have this whole thing to pass, you need to wrap in this into an async function. So yeah, with Pinya you can write 3 lines, while in Redux you will have 20 lines for the same thing. So yeah, it's just less complexity as always.
All right, well that sounds pretty good.
And also, a last point, but you can totally use Redux with Vue. Some people do that. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're coming from a React background, I do not, but you can totally use that if for example, your team have several apps, some in React, some in Vue, you can have a common Redux base and it's working totally fine also.
All right, so what was the biggest advantage for you for using these, using the state management that you're using now? Does it give you any option or functionality that you can now implement easier or something that you can now implement that you couldn't do before at all?
Not what I couldn't do before at all. So with the composition API, it is now possible to create also state reusable in Vue. That wasn't possible with Vue 2 beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because what the composition API is basically a setup function where you can use the reactivity API for. And the reactivity API is something that you can use in plain JavaScript or TypeScript files. And beforehand, you were always kind of bound to your single file components, always bound to template, and you couldn't easily share those states. And then I wouldn't really compare Vue.x to Pinya, because under the hood, Vue.x 5 is Pinya. It just has a different name, because Eduardo wrote this plugin and wrote this framework, and they wanted to say, the Vue.js core team also wanted to say, hey, this is your thing, we want to keep your name. Mm-hmm. And also, it's easier to Google for things if you don't Google for Vue.x 5, really now Vue.x 5, but if you just can Google for Pinya and you have a fresh state on Google or any other search engine. The thing is, it's easier to handle the state. It's definitely less code and it's fluent. Oh yes, there's a very, very important point. It's TypeScript support. You have TypeScript out of the box with Pinya. There's nothing you have to do for Pinya itself to make it support TypeScript. You only have to say, okay, this is my state, these are my items, and my items are an array of something that is type item. And that was not possible with Vue.x.
And also, even if you don't use TypeScript yourself, you can benefit from the IntelliSense and still get some nice info out of
and
it.
The auto-completions.
Yeah.
That's the biggest plus point for me at TypeScript. I have auto-completions. So nice.
Yeah, and at the same time, as she said, having like Vue.x and Pinya in different names is like having Vue.press and Vue.press. So those are SSG solutions for documentation, which basically Vue.press is the evolution of Vue.press. But getting those separated is also nice because there are minor differences, but it's easier to Google and it's easier to find what to use. So yeah, but at the same time, you're also like, if you heard, for example, about Vue.x, it's maybe easier to find, oh yeah, so it's Vue.x 5. But if you never heard about Pinya, so it's always a trade-off of, oh, do we rename it and make it official, or do we keep those separated? As even you told yesterday morning, there's no clear decision on this one, so yeah.
They have it really bold on their own Vue.free docs.
Yeah.
They have the example of what I gave my talk about the simple state management just with Vue. Mm-hmm. And if you scroll below, there's a big like disclaimer, hey, the now recommended tool to use afterwards is Pinya, and Pinya is Vue.x 5, because if they wouldn't have went with Pinya, but they would have just like copied the code base into Vue.x 5. Mm-hmm. And I think they really want to stick to this approach. Just it's easier to search for it, to look for it. It's the name of the person who invented it, who came up with the idea. Maybe they are still thinking about if they see that their community and the users of Vue are holding back and they're kind of blocked of this new name and maybe blocked by seeing it has less NPM downloads or something. So that could be maybe a reason. I think it's not the best reason, but if that brings people to migrate.
Yeah, maybe if you don't know Pozva by itself, you could think, oh, this is a random dude, I don't know this name, you know, because this is not under Vue/something, but if I'm not mistaken, it's Pozva/Pinya, or something?
Yeah, I think it has the edge pinion.
Okay, that's so it. That's right. But at the end, yeah, I recommended it already before, but I want to say it again. You can go to Awesome View. So this is a Syndesaurus Awesome list where you can see everything like tables, UI frameworks, and if you go to the state management, you will see all the possible solutions that you can use. So Pinya is in there, and it's recommended. So yeah,
I'm curious, like if it becomes much easier to implement these kind of things. I also have that experience with something new that you start using it, and suddenly you can do something in a way that was so much simpler than you did it before. That you build a feature, you're like, wow, that was a lot easier than I did it before.
I would say with things like, with frameworks like Pinya, it is now for me also possible to just use it with TypeScript. Mm-hmm. I think I was always like hold back to add TypeScript to Vue 2 beforehand because it felt wrong. It wasn't really supported. And even if I made my components possible with TypeScript, I also had to go just through some hassle to do it with Vue.x. And now I think I'm just able to bring TypeScript to all of the code base just by using
You have
Pinya.
A feature that you implemented like recently where you had this moment that you thought like, oh, it was so much easier, so much nicer
it's
of an my experience
daily,
to
It's my
this.
Daily stuff, what I'm doing. I daily,
like
on a daily,
day
on, a daily on a daily, on a daily,
basically.
I experience this,
yeah,
that it's just
no,
easy. I mean, it's
what was the first one where you implemented it and thought like, yes, this is so cool.
Oh yeah, so the first one was that I had to fetch something from an API, and at some point, I had to write it in several different places because I was also holding back to use Pinya. I wasn't sure, can I do this now? And I had like, okay, I need to do the fetch request here and fetch request here and fetch request there and fetch request where. And so these four files are now just, okay, I have Pinya, fetch it once, store it once, because it's also shareable between different modules. So with UX, you had your main store, and then you had to be able to, you were able to create different submodules. But it's also like in the name, they were like submodules. With Pinya, it's out of the box. Everything is already a module. So it's very easy to share state between different stores. And I know you're looking for that. What was the one thing that was so cool? Mm-hmm. But it's rather like in retrospective, everything after I wrote these features, they are still working and they are still making sense. Beforehand, as I had just this one main store, it was growing and growing and growing. And then was the moment, oh, I should refactor it. Mm-hmm. With Pinya, it's everything is already a module, so I say, okay, this is my item store, this is my UI store, and this is my user store. And from the beginning, I am asked to create this dedicated files for that, and I don't have later this moment to refactor it again, because it just stays clean.
Yeah, it's already decoupled, and you have that in small parts, thanks to the composition API. It's not like a single monolith block that then you maybe split, maybe not. Like, it depends on how you organize, but Pinya tends to favor the, oh, all right, you have only those specific stores, and then you group them if you need. So it's pretty slick.
I like it. It sounds pretty slick, yeah.
It is.
Pretty good experience.
It is.
So we'd like to always round up the interview with one question with that we asked all our interviewees, which is, do you have one life hack or developer trick that you use in your day-to-day that makes like a big impact for you that you would like to share?
My big developer trip is that I don't have one trick that I have. I think what it needs is always is practice, but I don't use Alfred. Everybody is always like, what, you don't use Alfred? No, I just use like I just use base command, whatever it is working for me. What I think was helpful is to have my IDE set up properly with using Volar and having that TypeScript support there, again, out of the box.
Volar is the Vue 3 extension for the VS Code.
Ah, okay.
Before it was Vetture for Vue 2, but now it's Volar for Vue 3, and it's there is somebody officially working on it as an open source maintainer. And so, yeah, this is Volar.
So the developer trick is practice, and if it doesn't work, go to sleep. It will work tomorrow.
Go to sleep.
Yeah,
that's always
agree
good
on that one.
That's
I'll
always
take
a
good.
Yeah.
I think we can take that one home.
Indeed.
So thank you very much for your time, and
thank
we'll
you.
See you on the next JS World podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.